Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen, and today I am joined once again by Shira, my sister-in-law, and obviously, more importantly, or less importantly, I don't know, director of talent and community at Betches, and also mom of two. Welcome back, Shira.
Hi. How you doing?
What's more importantly, you think? Director?
What's more important? I think maybe my kids.
No, I didn't say the mom. It was like my sister.
Oh,
no,
what's more
your
important?
Your job.
My job title, or the fact that we're sister-in-laws.
Equal.
We don't have to decide right now.
We don't have to decide. We can talk about it offline.
Yeah.
What's up? Everyone loved your episode. I'm happy to have you back. At the end of last episode, I feel like we left a big cliffhanger to like talk about the important things of like maternity leave and all of that.
There's a lot of information, and people do reach out to me periodically. I had some friends actually last year during the pandemic who were living remotely, and New York State actually has a really great paid family leave policy, which is what maternity leave falls under. And so there was a lot of like chaos and confusion with the pandemic. People moved out of the state, and then all of a sudden they didn't think they qualified for their leave benefits. But actually the law is if you work for a company that is based in New York. So whether you like had to relocate to Florida, for instance, you still qualified for your leave benefits, which was great because obviously the pandemic was, you know, something uncharted territory and people still wanted to make sure they were protected.
Yeah. So many reasons and why, like, all of this is like confusing because it depends on where you work, what state you're in.
Right. A lot of times people say, you know, what am I entitled to in terms of paid leave, unpaid leave? And honestly, it varies state by state and company by company, because the first rule of thumb is that companies have to follow a federal law, which applies to every state within the country. Then they have to follow the state law in which their business is based, but then they can also hopefully, you know, add more on and do whatever they want. So it's hard to say, you know, if someone writes in, for instance, and we're going to get to those questions, it would be hard for me to answer, oh, in Missouri, you're qualified for X, because I honestly don't know. But we can get into how would find out those answers.
Yeah. And also, this is a very timely episode, even though when this comes out, this is going to be in the past a little bit, but I'm personally going on maternity leave in the next couple weeks. And it's wild to like do that.
to actually leave your job. Yeah.
To make a break like that. Although I am fine. I did do something for myself. And I talked about this on Diet Star Smile, but I was noticing myself feeling like very, very, very overwhelmed. And I just couldn't see myself going from like a meeting to like the hospital. So I decided
that could happen.
I know. I know that happened to you because it was like unplanned, but I decided I'm going to take my leave 1 week before my due date because I just want to relieve, although I did say I'll record any podcast anybody needs. But
you know, a lot of people do that. A lot of people
take longer before
Scheduled C-sections, scheduled inductions for that reason. Also because of COVID last year, hospitals were allowing scheduled inductions starting at 39 weeks to allow for just it to be more scheduled and to have less, you know, last minute. And so my OB offer it to me. She goes, I know you're going to say no, but I want to offer it to you anyway. And I was like, no, I'm not getting a deuce. I didn't even make it that long anyway. But I get why people opt for sort of that sort of more schedule, because they like to be able to plan as much as possible.
Plan as much as possible. Right. I don't want to be induced if I don't have to be. So right. That like that uncertainty coupled with just like the stress right. of everything. Like I noticed I was having a lot of anxiety about it. So I was like, I'm just going to do this for myself.
Right.
Even though it's going to be hard.
You're also in a different position because it's also still your company. So yeah. Most people, like I was saying last episode, I was literally in the middle of sending Sammy an email and then, okay, like, I guess I'm done. I'm not working on that anymore. And we'll talk about it in 4 months.
Yeah.
But it's not that easy for you. So I think that's really smart that you've made a plan to stop working a week before your due date. And I mean, you could go 2 weeks late. You never know. Yeah. Like you could have 3 weeks sitting at home. Again, maternity leave doesn't really apply to you. So, you know, you're an exception in that.
But I'm not going to take a year off, you know, I'm going to come back. I'm just saying yeah. that like noticing that kind of feelings, I'm happy I did that for myself, but yeah. I'm excited to talk about like, there's so many questions around paid leave, like
yeah.
the acronym FMLA, what is it? So many different questions we had from our listeners. And
right. The other thing I was going to say, though, back to taking leave early, is that not everybody also will have that luxury or that option, right? So if your company's only giving you a certain amount of time, it's based on when you deliver. So to say, that's why people like are literally in the middle of their work week and they go into labor and it is what it is. They can't really afford to say, oh, I'm just going to stop working 2 weeks before, because they don't want their leave to start early. They want the most amount of time with the baby, you know? So it really depends on your situation at work.
So just going back to some questions. So what should work, is there any like general thing that working moms should know about maternity leave, like whether they're looking for a new job or whether you're not a mom yet, that you should be like advocating for yourself or just asking about?
Yeah, a lot of people ask in the interview process. That's completely normal and okay to ask when you're interviewing, you know, what are the company's benefits, right? That's a normal question. So that could be just medical care, time off. Also, what is your paid leave policy, or what is your specific maternity leave policy? You can ask about in the interview process. Also, then when you get offered a job, you can also talk through with your HR what those exact benefits are. Everyone or every company is going to list all of those benefits in a handbook also, which can be very lengthy and a lot to read through, but that would also be listed there. So that's, I think that's becoming more and more common that I've been seeing or hearing candidates ask are more transparent about that, which I think that is great. And married, unmarried, planning to have kids, more kids, not planning to have kids. Just women are curious. I think that's really good to keep in mind when they're ready for that part of their life.
And there's also so many different types of, you know, benefits when it comes to that, to paid time off or maternity leave specifically. Like your company could give you 100% paid, or your company could just follow like
the state minimum or the federal minimum, right? Exactly. Which is unpaid actually.
So yeah, what's the state minimum? Let's just say New York.
Yeah. So first you have to start with a federal law, because all states have to follow a federal law. So FMLA is Family Medical Leave Action. That's what that acronym means. And that is a federal law in which a full-time employee at any company can take an unpaid leave of absence for work to care for a family member. That could be a few different things. That could be maternity leave. So to care for the birth of a child, whether it's that could be for the birth of a child, right? So whether you deliver, adoption, surrogacy, et cetera, so the birth of a child. That could also be to take care of, let's say, a sick parent. I know people that have taken leave of absence for work to care for a sick parent, or it could be for a sick child, et cetera. It is, again, it's unpaid, but your job is protected. And for those 12 weeks, meaning you need to return after the 12 weeks, and you are still entitled to your benefits, meaning medical insurance, et cetera. Now that is traditionally how maternity leave has been classified. And then in terms of the paid piece, the other sort of general rule.
Wait, but hold on. Basically, in layman's terms, you can take unpaid time off, but you get to keep your job. Your job is protected.
Your job is protected. You got to keep your BS, and you still have your insurance, your medical, dental, et cetera.
Is there a window of time federally?
That's 12 weeks is the maximum.
12 weeks is the maximum. Okay.
And you're only really allowed to take that leave once in a 12-month period. Now, the way that you sort of layer in a paid leave option is classified under the company's disability insurance. So they sort of classify the employee as going out on short-term disability, even though being pregnant is not a disability. I just think it's a very like backwards way of thinking, but that's just sort of the way that it's been written or underwritten in terms of like an insurance way of speaking about it. The employee then is entitled to short-term disability pay, which is not their full salary. For an example, it could be 60% of their salary. It also necessarily isn't for the full 12 weeks. So it really varies. So some people, for instance, let's say they receive 6 weeks pay at 60% of their salary. So, and that's only for the six of the 12 weeks. So there are cases that people, can't afford to take the full 12 weeks at home. I know a lot of teachers that because of union, there's a completely different law that I'm not familiar with, but a lot of them return after 6 weeks because of their benefits are not paid and they can't afford to be home.
Nurses,
doctor. Right. There's a lot of people in medicine that are also union that would be categorized differently that I'm not familiar with. So I don't want to speak to what they are entitled or what they're not entitled to. So that's sort of that's the federal minimum in which every state in the country has to meet a federal minimum. Now you get into state laws. So New York has a great leave policy, and that is called a paid family leave specific to New York State. Again, by working for a company in New York State. So you could live in New Jersey, you could live in Connecticut, you could be working remotely in another state, but you work for a New York-based company, you are entitled to those leave benefits. That law is a little bit more broad in terms of what it covers. So yes, it covers the care and the birth of a new child, but it also covers, again, it could cover to take care of a family member who's sick. It also can cover to help out a family member if someone is on military leave. So it's a little bit more broad in terms of who is eligible. Now, the state is basically, the way that is set up is that the state is paying for those benefits. Everyone who works for a New York State company, you will see on your pay stub that you pay a little bit in every pay period to paid family leave as a pre-tax deduction, just as you would pay like taxes, like state and local federal taxes. So that when someone who goes on maternity leave, let's say that works for a New York company, they're now entitled to the state leave benefits.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Okay, wait, speaking of who qualifies, what are the rules about who qualifies? The person who gives the birth and the person who's sort of the partner.
Right. So in New York, technically, legally, is that you cannot choose based on gender, which is great. So it's a non-discriminatory law. So that means that if a couple adopts a child, they have a baby through surrogacy, same sex, different sex, non-gender, et cetera, everybody qualifies.
For the same amount?
For the same amount of leave.
Okay.
That is what we offer as a company, because we don't want to prohibit somebody from being able to receive the same benefits just as someone else, right? So it's offered to everybody. I would say it's a little bit of a double standard. For instance, my husband would never go to his firm and say, I'm legally entitled to 12 weeks paid leave. They would tell him like, hey, you don't have a job. So Right. That's just the difference.
Is that legal?
No, it's not legal. But like, he's not going to ask them that because then he's always the guy that asks for paid paternity leave. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's fucked up. It's archaic. It's so, you know, on the woman to do everything for the baby. I mean, with both kids, he took a week or two. I don't know. He was probably still working the whole time. I really don't remember. Just because that's his personality. I have friends that worked at big corporations that took 2 weeks paid leave. Like, they received 100% of their pay. Again, it depends. You know, your company could offer above and beyond. But there's definitely a stigma. Yes.
There definitely is a stigma with men and paternity leave and taking that time. Actually, speaking of like the woman, I remember a few years ago, there was a really great article in New York Times about how if like a two-parent household, the mom who gives birth to the kid, let's say they're making the same amount of money and their careers are like about equal right before they have the kid, they decide that it's less expensive for the mom, for them, to sort of stop working and taking care of the kid, and then the dad goes and he builds his career
for sure. And
it's
for 30 years and she's
whatever,
home.
And she's home. But not necessarily, yes, it's by choice, but because it's just is the way that it is, and it's not, and it's, and she has to give up her career, but also it has to do with the fact that that's like, it's a way of our, the way this society has kind of dictated, like the roles.
Right.
But I am hoping that is changing. Are you seeing like any trends with like paternity leave?
No, none of my friends. I mean, we have a million friends between the two of us that have kids. I would say that maybe the most common thing is they're home for 2 weeks, if that, and that is what it is. I actually know one person, I worked with her a couple jobs. She took her standard, whatever the maternity was that she was entitled to, and then he actually stayed home with the baby full time because of his job. He worked weekends, but a lot of office chatter around that, you know, like it's the only, I mean, not, but that's what I mean. But it's just like sort of the society and the way that it's been,
yeah,
sort of the foundation that's been laid out there. I really don't know anyone else.
What about taking like vacation, like saving your vacation to either add on if you're allowed by your company or
that's very common. If it's allowed, it's very common. But again, like there could be caps that you know, a lot of companies are going to put a cap on how much time you can stay out. So it just really, it really varies.
Yeah.
Those are all, there's laws and then there's policies, right? So there, companies have to meet federal and state laws to that's like the minimum they have to meet. And then hopefully they're generous enough to add policies on top of that. And that's where you have to be just really open and speak with HR, or if your boss has kids, ask your boss. You know, sometimes a lot of people wouldn't know though. You know, if you haven't been on maternity leave, you would really have no idea how specific the benefit or the law is. And it can also change. So, you know, just because they had something 5 years ago doesn't mean that that's the company policy now.
Okay, right. Let's get to some listener questions because we had some really good ones sent in. So we have some just general questions and then re-entering the workforce, because I feel like that's a whole topic in itself. Like it,
yeah,
your life has changed drastically from when you left. And yes, now it's like an emotional shift. It's a mental shift. You have to get back into that mindset. So first, let's go some general ones. How do you really separate yourself from work? Do you have any advice about that?
Yeah. Honestly, your brain, you just like that part of your brain just shuts down and you just shift into everything is about the baby, to the point that most women don't even take care of themselves. I mean, that's where that sort of common talk about like self-care and paying attention to you. And my mom always says like, you know, you have the baby and then everyone forgets about the mom. And it's so true, even for yourself. And I've fallen into that both times I've had kids, that you really, I think you're in a unique position because it's also your company and your business. But I would say for most people, you really just, it's like your brain just shuts off on that subject matter. And you know, you have to figure out how to feed this baby. You're not sleeping. You look and feel terrible. You have, you know, recovery that you're dealing with, depending on what kind of labor and delivery that you have had. And there's just like nothing else to think about because that's so consuming. And, you know, the first time you have a baby that you've never experienced anything like that. So you're just all your focus and your energy is on that one subject matter, if you will, you know, and work is just like 3 days could go by of having a baby and you could feel like you've been out of work for months already, just because there's no day, there's no night, you know, just time is just sort of standing still.
Yeah. I think it's hard being in the position of someone who, like, I can imagine myself, like, not even picturing myself having a kid anytime soon versus right now, which it's imminent. And I can see my brain shift in the sense that, like, things are changing in terms of priority and importance. Mm-hmm. How do you communicate that to, like, the before me, you know, like people in your job? I feel like a lot of moms struggle, and that's why I think a lot of moms stick together in workforces, because it's hard for people without kids to relate to what you're going through.
Yeah.
Is there a way to, like, sort of talk about it? You know what I mean?
Honestly, I never thought of it in that way, if it was necessary, because I think that I don't look for exceptions for myself or for us that have kids versus other employees, because I've been on the opposite end of that. And I had jobs where all my bosses had kids, and, you know, if they left early, but I felt like I had to stay late. But you know what? That wasn't really them, because they had kids. That was just the corporate culture of that office. You know, I think that we are all very cognizant of that, and we don't want that to be the way that it is anyway. But I also don't really believe in things being fair either. Just because one employee maybe does something, that doesn't mean that another employee has to. In terms of communicating it, I guess I never really thought about that, because I think that's a problem and probably a stigma that women have, is that they don't want to feel judged. They don't want to feel like they're not working hard enough. I think the return to work is just, it's unavoidable, because you have missed this chunk of time. And yes, you have to go back. Not you don't have to, but when you go back to work, you just start working again. And it's a very, very hard shift again the other way. It takes a very long time. I think it takes a lot longer to adjust to going back to work again. I felt it much harder the second time. I thought it was going to be like, oh, I'm familiar with this. You know, I did it once already. Like, I'm in a groove. I know what I need to do. Like, I know how to take care of myself. I know how to prioritize. But two kids is like a whole new ball game. And depending on when you return to work. So, like, let's say you're 3 months out, 4 months out, 6 months out, you could be feeling many different feelings throughout those 3 months compared to someone else that maybe stayed home for a year, let's say. You know, the hormonal imbalance that you are experiencing is so all over the place. And almost like the emotional state of a woman who just had a baby is extremely fragile. And they might not even realize that about themselves, or they might not know that they're, like, struggling. And all of a sudden they're dealing with a hormonal imbalance, physical changes, like a lot of emotional feelings, maybe also physically separating from kids is really hard, you know, like, especially the first time. It could be really sad. It can be scary. And now all of a sudden you're expected just, like, no one gives a shit. Like, you better get your shit done. And it's not that easy, you know, like, just because you miss 4 months of work doesn't mean, like, oh, in 2 weeks you need to catch up on these 4 months. It's really like the 4 months happened. Let's pretend we're new and you need, like, a 3 month handicap period to get back into it. That's really, like, I feel like what it should be returning back to work, honestly.
Agreed. But that's not that easy. But not all corporate cultures support that. And
business priorities.
And many businesses don't have that many women who can understand or feel compassion towards that. So I think that is challenging. I mean, I know I said it was an Aileen question, but I've had so many just DMs about like, coworkers or bosses or bosses' bosses who don't really like see us as just humans and more so just, you know, workers.
Yeah. Something that I noticed, because I did come from a very corporate background, and I feel like it was very common because so many women, maybe it was more common to get married later, to have kids later. It was like this competition of who could work the hardest. And if you had children and you were leaving at a normal time, 5:30, which is like normal time, that was early in their mind. And you were penalized for it. You know, like it was sort of this like sick joke to be like, oh, I was on my laptop till 12 o'clock. I haven't seen my kids and my husband all week. Like, and I always thought that's so sad. Like you, I felt like I needed to go somewhere and figure it out for myself where I could really have a career, longevity within a company and a career, but also have a family. And all of those things can be priorities. It's not necessarily that you're choosing one or the other. I think it's learning how to prioritize, you know? So like, if you have to put something on pause at work because there's something going on with your kid, if you have, your kid is sick or they're having a big day at school, like, and you have to miss a day, like prioritize, like don't punish yourself that you can't, that you have to work so much that you can't be there for your kids, but also work also has to be like a priority too and a responsibility on the flip side as well. You know, if you're choosing to work, there are certain things that, you know, you might not get to, or that might not happen. So it's just, I think really learning how to balance all of it.
How does she do it?
I don't know. The day just goes by. And I'm like, oh, I need to get Sylvie ready for camp. Okay. And then I'll spend 10 minutes doing that. And then I go do something else.
Right. And also just with balance, like I've always thought balance isn't like doing equal amount of things every single day. It fluctuates over time, and it just kind of evens out over time. And then you don't let... You'll notice just in terms of work-life balance, quote, like you just have to be like just more compassionate towards yourself and not like, you know, oh, I didn't do enough work, I'm going to be like fired and all this stuff, like sort of just.
Or the guilt. So we talked about this a lot. Or maybe, I don't know if you were talking about it in a mom's episode, the guilt, or maybe it was a DST. I don't know what I was listening to, but about don't not do things because you feel guilty, right? You know, but like within reason, if you feel like there's going to be something important for one of your kids, like figure out how to like schedule that around work or vice versa. Maybe being a good planner is like the key to that. I don't know, but I think it's part of it.
Let's talk about re-entering the workforce. How can companies provide support for parents who are coming back from parental leave?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a few things. I think, again, there's like that emotional piece of it. That's tough, you know, because I think if you have a good relationship with your employee as a manager, you should 100% like check in with them, try to like ease them back in terms of workload. You know, again, like I think there's this expectation you miss 3-4 months of work. Now you just need to figure it out and catch up. And it's not really a catch up. Like I would love for there to be some sort of like, not you're new, you have like a few months to get into the hang of it, but like, okay, what did I miss and what do I really need to work on? Again, that's where like you talk about prioritizing, what are really the expectations, you know, as a boss, like being there, being available. If you don't have kids though, like, I don't know if you know how to have that conversation also, you know? So I think it's hard for us women who have children and who work for people or employees that don't have children, because they don't know how to be there. Maybe they don't maybe know how to empathize or sympathize. And that can be challenging, right? So there's that. So like the, you know, open dialogue, I think as an employee to be more comfortable sharing what you need. Again, like that's not something I've ever done in the 2 maternity leaves or return to work. I wish that I had, but I didn't. And then there's sort of physical support, right? Or which could be pumping rooms, which that's actually a federal law that all companies have to provide a place for you to pump outside that is not a bathroom. We talked about in the last episode. Again, that's not as easy to, we could say that, but that's not really the reality for everyone. But if it's there and it's available to you, communicate with your manager. You know, this is going to be the schedule that I need, like making sure you're working around it and that you're getting everything done at the same time. But again, like that's a lot to juggle and to manage, which is why I would say most people don't pump that long, because it's just another piece of the puzzle to deal with.
Let's talk about like the emotional piece of coming back to work and like leaving your kid. Like something I have anxiety about already, and I haven't even met my kid, is that like, how do you go from, you know, being with them 24/7 to then like putting them in the care of someone else, like whether it's daycare or nanny or even a family member, whoever's helping you?
Well, I think because the reality is that you don't really have a choice, right? So if you have to go back to work because you need the money or because you want to for your career.
What's your advice for how to kind of cope with that?
Well, I guess you have time to sort of get used to the idea, right? So you have the baby, and then I guess it depends. So like in New York, and I would imagine other metro areas, daycare, for instance, there's like long waiting lists, you know? So a lot of people will sign their kid up or soon to be kid, you know, on a year waiting list because they're pregnant. They know that's what they're going to do in their area, and they need some form of childcare. So they can't like just wait. Right. And then you have the baby and you're just sort of like adjusting to this, whatever your sort of new dynamic is. And you're instantly like attached or, you know, bonded to this baby. And you think like, okay, so when I had Sophie, I was like, when do I have to start looking for a nanny? And everyone was like, oh, like give yourself 3-4 weeks. So, you know, depending on when you go back to work. And I remember being like, how am I like hiring this stranger to take care of her, right? Like that's just so daunting. And then you think, all right, well, you're getting recommendations, you meet them, you feel their energy. Some people have nanny cams. I did not. I don't know. You just sort of like, you go through the process. Okay, so now I'm going to talk to all these nannies. I'm going to interview them, meet them, see how they are with the baby, and then we'll go with it. What I did was, I remember I had her start a week early, so I was home with her the entire week. And, you know, Adam's so crazy. He was like, see how she walks with the stroller to make sure she looks both ways and stops at before the corner and like checks for bikers and taxis. And like, so I was like, okay, I'll make her walk to Bed Bath & Beyond with me. And then like, just things like that. Or like when Sophie got older and had a music class, I was like, oh, let's go together, because I wanted to sort of like see how she would be around other people. And you just kind of go with it. It's hard. I really remember this very vividly, walking out with Adam the first day back to Betches after Sophie, and I was crying in the hallway but I was also like, I'm dressed, I have makeup on, I feel like a real person. Like I was excited to like,
yeah, there's also that
part of your old life back. Because as much as like, I mean, and you would know this, like everyone I know, I'm obsessed with my kids and think they're the best things ever. I'm not meant to be home with them. And I knew that with maternity leave, and I savored it as much as possible. And I had the best maternity leave, and like, and I loved every minute of it. And then I was like, okay, like I'm ready to kind of like try to go back to, you don't really go back to your old life at all, but like that piece of it. Right. And that's why for me, working is so important, and I enjoy it so much because it's yours. It's like you have, you know, your own thing and your independence, and you have, you know, the social aspect of everyone.
And you're thinking about something other than your kids.
Than the kid. Like I said to my mom, like, imagine how insane I would be if I didn't work. I would literally talk about breastfeeding all day long, like, more than I talk about it now.
That would be shocking.
Right? Like, but like what, you know what I mean? Like, but I couldn't imagine myself like going to lunches with other stay-at-home moms. And like, I just was like, I'm not into that. It wasn't my thing. And you know, so it was definitely like a dual of, I'm excited to get back into, you know, my own life, but I was sad. It's sad in a way, you know, and you just, I don't know, you just adjust. I personally like wasn't that anxious about it. I was just more like, I'm going to miss her, you know, right. Like you just have this like chubby, delicious thing with you all the time. And I knew she was going to be okay. I just was like, you know, like, what is she going to do all day? And they're like, right. Well, she really sleeps all day. You're not really missing that much.
But just, I think for people, and like what I've got from it is just sort of assume there will be a transition period, an adjustment period, no matter what.
It takes a while.
With everything.
Right. It could be a few months. You just don't
and
know.
Nothing is permanent. And you, if it does, you know, like just assess
That's
your
true.
Mental health.
You could change your plan. Like you're planning on daycare and you might not be ready for that, you know, vice versa. Like we know someone that had a nanny for a couple months and then her son got into daycare and she was like, you know what? I feel like daycare's going to be the best thing for him. And
yeah,
she switched it. So I also know people that have gone back to work and then after having a second kid stopped working.
I know people who've changed their work job too, right. Like something that makes sense for them in their new mental state. So again, like nothing right. is permanent and there's going to be a transition period. Yeah. So that's how I'm kind of getting through it. It's just like, I'll deal with it when I deal with it.
The thing that I would say is hard is that you don't know how long that transition period is going to last. That I think was like hard for me is like this. So you're struggling at work or struggling, like balancing all of it. You don't know. I remember being like, when am I going to feel like normal again? You know? And
I feel that now. I'm like, I just want to feel my butt, like feel like myself again. Yeah. So yeah, but Rusty's like, it's not going to be for a while. No, it's not.
It's not.
Like,
no,
thank
it's
you.
Not.
All right, let's do one last question. It's not necessarily about re-entering, but it's like, you know, kind of, I feel like the question that everybody has in their mind is there one right way to do this? So how do you tell your job and like when do you tell your job that you are pregnant?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely no law in that, right? And there's no like right or wrong answer. I would say the most common thing that people do is they don't really tell anybody until, or maybe that's just like until us because we're superstitious. Until you're out of the first trimester, you know, they wait till certain tests are cleared. Maybe they find out the gender.
People hide it for longer though at work.
People hide it for a long time. I felt like, you know, you're out of that window for miscarriage also. And now we're going to share with everyone. And now is like kind of a good time to share with work also. I don't know anyone that really waited past like 3-4 months because then I feel like it gets awkward. Like, are you trying to hide something? I think it depends on your situation. So like I was in a unique situation where I was interviewing for my old job with you and I happened to have gotten pregnant right away and was very surprised. And Adam and I were like, okay, if you get the job, like you're going to tell her, because if it was anybody else, if it was some other job, I wouldn't have said anything until probably my first day or first week, in which I was actually probably by that point, 11 or 12 weeks along. Which some of my friends have had that happen to them as well. And they're like, I'm just not saying anything until I start, right? Like, what's the point? I don't know this person. But you, it was like a different situation.
You think that our situation aside, because it was unique, you think that that's better than telling them before?
I just think it's like a little, it's in the beginning is a sensitive time, right? You could miscarry, maybe you're surprised.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's very personal, right? And so I think that that's totally okay to wait till you start a job. Unless let's say you're 8 weeks pregnant, you're in the interview process, you don't say anything. And by the time you're going to start, you're like 6 months pregnant. I'm making this up. Okay. So maybe between that time frame, once you're out of your first trimester, you should just let someone know. FYI, I'm going on maternity leave. The thing about that is depending on where you just wanted to let you know. That I'm going to take this job and then in 3 months I'm going on and I want paid leave. So depending on where
I could see people like employers getting upset by that.
Right. They can't do anything about it. That's illegal. Protected class.
That's why they would be upset.
That's why they'd be upset. But listen, there's no like good time. There could never be a good time to a boss or to a company for someone to get pregnant. So that's irrelevant. But
right. That's a good point.
Depending on where you work and the state law, you could have to work there a certain amount of time. So like for New York State, you don't actually qualify for paid leave unless you've been there for 6 months. You could have to notify the employer within a certain amount of window to also qualify. In New York State, that is actually only 30 days, which hopefully by 9 months pregnant, you've told people.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's certain things like that, but I mean, it's a little touchy. Like, let's say, like, you work in a very male-dominated industry.
Yeah, right. It depends on the culture.
It depends, yeah.
When
also, the other thing I was going to say is, you know, if you have maybe a history of unsuccessful pregnancies and maybe you've miscarried multiple times and you don't want to share because that's just the emotional, maybe you're just so afraid. On the flip side, maybe you should share that you're going through something like very emotional, could, you know, potentially traumatic, and you want your boss to be aware. And that maybe that you're not going to make it public till you're like 5 months, 6 months, like whatever the benchmarker is that is sort of considered safe. So everyone has their own.
It also depends on your relationship with your boss. Like, if you feel comfortable saying, like, I want to share this with you because I'm going through something that might affect my work, but I'm not ready to share it, like, from a corporate HR standpoint.
Right. I mean, I would love for everybody to have that
kind of relationship. Right.
Right. Hopefully people will. But, you know, again, obviously that's not going to be that common.
Right, right, right. Everyone, we hope you answered as many questions as we could. Obviously, we only have a certain amount of time. But that said, if you have burning questions for Shira about this, email us, moms@betches.com. You can also DM us at BetchesMoms. And thanks so much, Shira. I can't believe I'm going to be on a maternity leave. I couldn't picture that for myself, but I'm excited for me as well.
I'm excited for you.
Everyone, thanks so much. And that is it for this episode of Betches Moms Podcast. Please don't forget to rate, review, and follow us on Apple and Spotify, and follow Betches Moms on Instagram. And you can follow me at Aileen. Do you want me to say yours or no? Okay. And follow me at Aileen. And remember, there are no rules in this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom. Right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com.
Betches.